God set that in motion a long time ago. We're kind of slow on getting it going, but you know what? We waited for the Spirit to get it going. So we're going to wait for the Spirit to have its way. I thank God for that. Because I don't know how many of you know it, but the church has many areas to cover. God says His love covers a multitude of sins, and the church would deal with most of them. And you'll see His hand in most everything. Okay? I started to tell you, my topic is, why am I here? I started to say, why are you here? But that gets too personal. Why am I here? And, you know, I believe we serve an awesome God. By the way, you're going to find out, I didn't write anything down. Because I trust God completely. And I want to tell you something. I believe God will lead us from the smallest child to the oldest person. And I'm not just talking the oldest person in this congregation, to the oldest person that He gives breath to. He will lead us. He will guide us. But we have to desire His will in our lives that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Now, why am I here? I'm getting ready to play. Margaret's actually going to play it. And I did bring it in. It's probably something you've never heard in church before. But God speaks to me through children and through people's lives and through work. He speaks to me on the radio. I love Brother Charles Stanley. I love Brother Oscar. He speaks to me through whoever I'm willing to listen to. You notice I said willing to listen to. But He does it in music in a way that you're going to have a hard time believing, but you'll hear it in just a second, because I'm pretty sure you never heard this in a church, but you never heard it in this building, but you've heard it in the church. The church is right here. Amen. Margaret, if you don't care, play number 11, will you? Yeah. shut that off. Now, a lot of you are sitting out there, who in the world does he think he is? Well, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a child of the King. And I want to tell you something. If you have ears to hear, you heard the King's voice in that. And it said it time and time and time again. You finally got it. I'm going nowhere. And I need help. Hello, help. We need to not be so quick to judge everything by the hearing of this ear or the seeing of this eye. There is a people out there and in here that needs Jesus Christ, needs the Holy Spirit, needs the unction of the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And you know what? I'm going to tell on you, Margaret, because nobody looks back at you. Yes, she was doing this. And the only one that wasn't doing that is the ones that didn't know if it was appropriate or not. Now, you might have been sitting there, and in your mind, you were doing that. And I don't know what that means. Because we're not going anywhere, but we're going to help a bunch of people. And we need to realize God's plan, his ultimate plan, is that he has a plan. Now, I got two or three people out here that are teenagers that have been in my class, and I didn't tell them I was going to do this. But, yeah, I'm going to put them on the spot. Who do you think I am? I'm their teacher. Tyler, you stand up. Parker, you stand up. And Taylor, you stand up. I talked on Job one Sunday in church, in Sunday school, right? And what did Job do? What did Job have to learn to do? What did he have to learn to do? What did he do with this? What did he have to learn to do? He had to learn to keep his mouth shut. Is that right? Is that what he had to learn to do? And he literally had to take his hand and put it over his mouth because he couldn't keep it shut. Have a seat, guys and girls. Sometimes the church needs to keep their mouth shut. And you need to know that you don't have any rights unless the Holy Spirit comes upon you and speaks from on high. We are supposed to be an encouragement. Why am I here? I'm always here to encourage you. But if you think I'm going to encourage your flesh, you got the wrong person speaking to you. I'm going to encourage the spirit in you to come alive and stay alive. Because I want to tell you, we've heard that song time and time again. And some of you have done that. And others wanted to do that. But the truth is, God wants to do that in you. He wants you to stay alive. And I'm talking about in Christ. He wants you to stay alive. You let too many things compromise your effort. Ooh, I didn't even think about that. No wonder I don't have it wrote down. I can't write that good. I have several things I want to read to you, several different stories. The first one is on forgiven. Hello, church. Do you know that you are the forgiven? We wouldn't be the church if we weren't forgiven. By the way, give Guideposts the credit for this. Listen to what it says. A little more than a year ago, the country was shocked by a mass shooting in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, when a gunman opened fire at midnight, showing of the newest Batman movie. You there? Wasn't pretty. Was not pretty. The shooter's attire and behavior were so bizarre that the initial of some moviegoers thought it was a prank or a crazy promotion stunt. But it was real. 70 people were hit by the madman's bullets and 12 perished, including a 6-year-old little girl. One of the wounded was a 41-year-old Marcus Weaver, whose companion died in a terrific firesite. As the media descendants on the survivors, you readers let us know that Marcus had told reporters from his hospital bed that his faith, let me say that again, that his faith compelled him. I'm going to stop right there. When's the last time your faith compelled you? This is for his good, by the way. It's for God's glory. It says, when his faith compelled him to forgive the shooter. Many of you thought we should ask Marcus to tell his story in the magazine. As is so often the case, there were more to the story than met the eye. Marcus had indeed forgiven the gunman, but that wasn't the real miracle. His forgiveness was a turning point in setting him free. Emotionally struggled Marcus had endured his whole life. Forgiveness is the most difficult thing God asked of us. The message of the cross is the message of forgiveness. There's certain, it's the center of Christianity. Even though we struggle with it, we become prisoners of our hurt and our resentments. We can't let go of a wrong done to us. And yet we must, because as Marcus tells us in his remarkable and inspiring story, forgiveness is the act of spiritual liberation. It frees us from the feelings that are toxic to the soul and allows us to move forward in our life and our faith. When we forgive, we move closer to God. You just heard the truth. When we forgive, we move closer to God. Puts us on the spot. Who in your life have you been unable to forgive in your heart? What wrongs do you hold on to? Marcus' story made me ask myself these questions. They're challenging questions. But as you will see, the solution will set you free. Tremendous, tremendous. Any of us ever seen this book? If you've been with the church long, you have. You've seen a lot. Okay. I'm just going to read a portion of a story out of it. Praise releases the power of God into our lives and circumstances, because praise is faith in action. When we trust God fully, He is free to work, and He always brings victory. Let me read that one more time. When we trust God fully, He is free to work, and He always, always, always brings victory. It may be a victory that changes our circumstances, or a victory in the circumstances. I love that. Death may be turned away, or it may be made to lose its sting. Praise is a permanent acceptance of what God has brought into our lives. We enter this attitude of praise by an act of our will, by a decision to praise God regardless of how we feel. Confession time. Outside of Christ, I don't have the ability to do that. But in Christ, I have more than the ability to do that. Because with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What time I am afraid, I will trust you, wrote David. By the help of God, I will praise His word. On God I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will send I will sing and give praise. Oh, yeah. This is entitled, I'm not going to read a whole lot of this. This is entitled Goodbye Grumblings. And before I read that, I got to tell you, I had a guy down at work approach me the other day. We have a new plant manager coming back. Last time he was there, we had 350 people working. When he left, we had 60. Sounds like some of my workers are out here. Doom and gloom. Not me. Even though they want you to be one of them, can't do it. Not in me. God didn't raise me to be a doom and gloom. He raised me whatever it takes for thy will to take place, and praise him in it. We don't know the outcome, but we do know who holds the outcome. He's already set the plan in motion. That's my Sunday school kids heard this morning. And it's his plan. And you know what? And one day we're going to grow up enough to where we say and we demand his plan. Don't have to understand it. We just have to trust it. Have you ever stepped outside your door on a beautiful, clear, sunny day, taken a deep breath of fresh air, and thanked God for his wonderful creation? How many of you have ever done that? The majority of you have done it, okay? But what if, I love what there's, people always put but behind something. Anybody ever done that? You tell somebody something really good news, and then you follow that with them three letters, but. You know what we want to do? We want to put our hands all over those things, and we want to say, here, you got to slow down just a little. Here, don't get too excited. You know, don't get too joyous in the spirit. Don't, like, I want you to just tell them, I want to quench the spirit in you. Because we do sometimes. But what if the next morning is gray and rainy? Does it automatically make you feel a little despair or depressed as you look out the window? How many would admit that? It does. Maybe you don't say it out loud, but you feel it. I love this. Are you in the habit of thanking God only for what you want? I'm not even looking up. Because the truth is, whether you confess that or not, you're looking down, closing your eyes, and saying, I do all the time. And I love how he says it. Are you in the habit? This means frequently. You know what habits are. Habits are the things that you can't quit unless God interferes and you ask him to take them away. Habits are the thought that you think about somebody that you don't want to think, that you know God didn't please with, but they can't go anywhere because you won't tell him, take them away from me, help me. Going nowhere but asking for help. Are you in the habit of thanking God only for what you want? And are you in the habit of grumbling just a little? I won't look again. Just a little when things don't go your way like you want. I didn't ask for hands. I'll look over this way. I believe this to be true. When God sent Moses to be his voice, he told Pharaoh to let my people go. Are you willing to hear his voice today? And hear him say, grumblings, let my people go. Because if you realize the truth is, the only ones that didn't get to go in were those that grumbled. Boy, you can lose your balance on that. So what's wrong with a little complaining? Ooh, they get down to it now. It's no big thing. What difference does it make? You know we're going to go talk about the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. Everything depends on how you respond to the little things in life. I get to go to work. I even get to today raise both my arms. I get to breathe deep. I get to breathe fresh air. And it gets to come back out of me. I get to see most of you out here. And I'm thankful for every one of you. I get to. There's nothing in that getting to that says I have to. But if I had to, that'd give me something to complain about. Love one another. You get to. Forgive one another. You get to. You get to. You can tell him these later on. Kurt one time said, Clyde, I love that. He said, but I've got news for you. He said, I'm going to work and it's hard to get to go to work anymore. And I understand. There's people put there a lot of times that's in charge of us. See, I look at all authorities given of God so that for I can accept it. Even when I don't like it, I can accept it. I do have to say out loud, you know, I'm working for God. I had a boss come up to me the other day. He said, I don't know what to do with you. I said, well, let's pray about it. Be honest with you, he can go to his source. I'm going to mine. So let's pray about what you do with me. And he said, can I ask you what you do with me? I said, sure. He said, what do you do with me? I said, I give you over to the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost I give myself over to. You know, when you lean not into your own understanding, but you acknowledge him all thy ways, you know, and then all of a sudden your paths are straighter and they're more direct. We got to have the Word of God become alive in us, jump off these pages, become alive in us, to where we can be that which pleases him in every aspect of our lives and realize that it's not about us. It's not about us. This morning, I was asked in Sunday school, have you gone through all the stories of that book, right? You asked me that. And I said, no. And we went right back to the book, It's Not About Me. Because, see, I knew I was going to talk about through four books. Oh, my goodness. Get going. Everything depends on how we respond to the little things in life. Listen to this. A marriage counselor will tell you that a marriage usually breaks up over little things. It takes only a small nail to puncture a tire. A small mistake by a mechanic can cause a crash of a giant airliner. A misunderstanding can start a war. One angry word leads to a shooting. Little things mean a lot because this is the level where we live, down at the nitty-gritty of our attitude at the breakfast table or in the long checkout line at the supermarket on a Friday afternoon. If you want the line to be long, I suggest you stand behind me. Not the line that opens up another line, but the line that I've already moved over, I'm next, and the person in front of me's got 80 things, and it's 15 or less. I said, okay. Obviously, I can't count any better than they can, or I'd have seen that. But, oh, I'm not going to grumble about that. Grumbling comes so easy to all of us that we often don't realize what we're doing. But grumbling is the very opposite of thanksgiving. A complaint is the opposite of trust. A murmur against your wife when she burns your toes is the opposite of loving acceptance. I'll stop there since I'm thinking about my wife. There it goes. If she burns toes, she eats it herself and gives me the one that she makes again. Men, we need to learn from our wives. This is about Job. The Lord said to Satan, "All right then, Job is in your power, but you might not take his life." Anybody sitting out here think, what in the world is going on with me? What, you know, I mean, you have struggles and you have threats and you want to trust the Lord, but you really don't understand what's going on. I mean, you go through times of I hate to say this, times of doubt and times of fear and maybe times of frustration and times of who do I call on the phone? Let's see. Church, learn to shut your mouth and wait. Wait on God. That's pretty good. And said, but you may not take his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence. He put his painful sores on Job's body from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Job took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself and sat in the ashes in misery. I find that not comforting. You find that comforting? That's not comforting. The Lord said to Job, "Will the person who argues with the Almighty correct him?" You ever argued with God? But there's a better way. Why am I going this way? This is a bad way. There's a better way. Let the person who accuses God answer him. Didn't have to go there. Then Job answered the Lord, "I am not worthy. I cannot answer you anything. So I will put my hand over my mouth." That's a smart man. Okay, and here's where you want me to go. This is in closing. This is Psalm 27 out of the Amplified. And I'm going to read the whole thing. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, even then, in this will I be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life. Behold and gaze upon the beauty." This is beautiful. "The sweet attractiveness and delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. For in the day of the trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. In his tent I will offer sacrifices and shoutings of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Have mercy and be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face, inquire for the required of my presence as your vital need. My heart says to your face, your presence. Lord, I will speak, inquire for, and require of necessary of the authority of your word. Hide not your face from me. turn not your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, cast me not off, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. Although my father and my mother have forsaken me, yet the Lord will take me up, adopt me as his child. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain and even path, because my enemies who lie in wait for me. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me. They breathe out cruelty and violence. What would you have become of me, and I not believe that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for the hope and expect the Lord. I read that this morning, and I said, Lord, that's exactly what we need. When all these things we hear about come up in our ears, we need to wait and expect the Lord. We need to not take things in our own hands thinking that we're the master over everything. We need to wait and expect the Lord. There's a visitor that wants to come to every one of our lives. But I hate to say it, he don't want to visit. He wants to stay. And this morning, some of you are sitting out there that, you know, you said you know the Lord, but you only know him as a visitor. You know, when Clyde Morgan doesn't go to work, there's three reasons. Vacation, I forgot injury, forget that. Vacation, sickness, or death. Well, one of those hasn't happened yet. And I would say to you this morning, the only reason you're not at church is because you're on vacation, sick, or dead. I had to bring you to the same place God brought me. We have a new life. Margaret, if you'll play 11 again, I'd like for them to listen and hear what the Spirit's saying in this song. This morning to you was about Christ in you staying alive. You have the hope of this world in you. And the greatest way you can keep it is give it away. God's greatest gift to us was Jesus Christ, his son. So I'm encouraging you, wait on the Lord and expect him to lead and give you the utterance of what to say in your lives. Whether you're at work, at home, with loved ones, even strangers. You know, there's a stranger around every corner. Don't hesitate to present Jesus Christ to them. Don't hesitate. Because I got news for you. If they don't know him, do expect him. You know, this morning I have to tell you this. Anybody notice my car is not here? Well, some people sat out in their car thinking that nobody was here yet this morning. But my wife came with me to the church this morning. And when she told me that she didn't need to be here, I asked her, is the only reason that you came because I'm speaking this morning? And she said, yeah. I can understand a wife saying that, but I need to tell you this. If the only reason that you come is to hear a certain individual speak, we're not coming for the right reason. We need to come to hear, to worship, enter in a praise that we know not where we're going. And we need help. We need help. This morning, I'm going to ask that you stand up. Because I believe God does all things well. And I believe there's some standing up right now in this assembly that need help. You can't help yourself. Just like the song said, you can't help yourself. You need help. Who will help me? I'm going to ask that you close your eyes and bow your heads. And Father, I present these people to you. Holy Ghost, we ask that you have your way here among us. We look toward none other but Jesus Christ and Him only. Father, as we lift you up right now, Lord, you do all things well, Lord. You're more than capable of just accomplishing whatever you set in motion. Father, we just invite the Holy Spirit to come and have its way. Lord, let us not be led of our own minds, but Father, let us wait upon you. And in waiting upon you, Father, you have your plan for us and through us, and you will bring it to fruition, Father. You will bring it to pass. Father, have your way here this morning, Lord, from the front of this auditorium to the back, throughout the many-membered body, Lord, that is here today. Be glorified, Lord. And Father, we look, Father, to hear the one that comes back that did we not heal 10, but one came back. We look to hear, Lord, the one that's among us, Lord, that you are dealing with this day. Have your way, have your way, have your way. As we wait on the Holy Ghost, Father, we surrender all. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, Him high and lifted up. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. We bless this people in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask, Lord, and we thank you for the life that you've given us. And it's a life abundant, beyond our limits, beyond our limits. That, Father, you do all things well. Bless, Lord, as only you can bless. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Anyone who wants prayer can come forward if you want. The rest of